Many years ago, way down in L.A., lower Alabama, I had gone to a little church way back in the backwoods down in L.A. I mean, we were really L.A. This little church was probably no more than 15 or 20 people were there for the worship service. I was a college student. When the service was over, the preacher said, "We're going to go to the home of our most faithful members, and they have prepared a meal." On the way to the house, the preacher said, "I probably need to tell you a little bit about this place we're going." He said, "You need to understand they do not have electricity." This was in the early 1970s, and there were still houses in L.A. that didn't have electricity. They do not have running water. They had an outhouse. They have a pump that they use. And we're going there to have Sunday dinner. Let me tell you, I wasn't feeling too well at that point. I didn't know what kind of Sunday dinner we would have in a house without electricity and without running water. I could imagine little stale crackers with peanut butter, or maybe a dry sandwich or something like that. We pulled up at this house. We walked in to the front door, and I was greeted by the most enticing aroma of good old Southern cooking. There was a feast on the table. There were vegetables from the garden, homegrown tomatoes. There was a cake. There was a pie. There was fried chicken. I mean real fried chicken, not the KFC variety, the real deal. There was a roast that they had cooked. They had done all of this on a wood stove and still went to Sunday school and church. And it was the wife that did it all back in the day. Kind of puts us to shame, doesn't it? I sat down with that family, an extended family, the minister and his wife. There were about 11 or 12 of us. And I had one of the greatest, most memorable meals full of joy and laughter and fellowship. Now I want to tell our children something. Do you know what it means when I say you don't have electricity? There's no television. There's no Wi-Fi. It hadn't been invented yet. There are no games, electronic games. It was just a home of hospitality, full of delicious food and richer fellowship. The word hospitality literally means the love of stranger. You know, you invite your friends over and you talk about hospitality, and it is hospitality, but literally true hospitality is to invite the stranger. In the scripture passage that Linda read a few moments ago, Jesus is talking to us about how to throw a party, about how to prepare a feast back before they had electricity, about how to have a banquet, who to invite to this banquet. He's talking about a celebration. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, have you ever noticed he doesn't have a bunch of theological propositions? Jesus doesn't come up with a doctrinal statement. He doesn't have a bunch of rules and regulations. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he talks about joy. He talks about fellowship. He talks about celebration and laughter and meals and banquets and dancing and rejoicing. And the thing that was so powerful in Bible school this week was the joy and the laughter and the celebration and the dancing. Yes, there was dancing. Can I hear an amen in the Baptist church? And I hope that you'll be able to stay. I want you to watch these children, and I want you to sing along with these children when they sing their theme song, and I want you to see the joy and to witness the celebration and to see the dancing, because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. You can take the Gospel of Luke, and you can outline the Gospel of Luke according to the meals. Beginning in the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of Luke talks about Jesus going to the home of Simon Peter after being in the synagogue. In Mark's gospel, this is in the first chapter. It's the very first day of Jesus' public ministry. We get the implication that Simon's mother-in-law was very well known for her delicious food. When she came to the covered dish, everybody wanted to know what his mother-in-law brought. I bet there are going to be some people today wanting to know who brought what. Used to back in the day. Brenda, we miss Minnie. Oh, did you bring a chocolate pie? Where is it? You'd never come to a covered dish in this church without Minnie Banks' chocolate pie. Simon's mother-in-law was like that, but she was sick. Remember, Jesus healed her, and what does she do? What does she do after that? She served them a meal. In the fifth chapter, Jesus calls Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him. And what does he do? He throws a party. He said, come on over to my house tonight. I'm going to invite some of my friends, and they had a party. Seventh chapter of Luke, there's a Pharisee by the name of Simon. He also wants to throw a party for Jesus. And you know, Jesus is now being criticized for the parties that he attends, by the celebrations that he experiences, and especially the people that he's hanging out with. But then Jesus throws the party of all parties in the ninth chapter of Luke, when he feeds the 5,000. And that didn't include the Bible school kids. That was just the men. And then in the 10th chapter of Luke, he goes to the home of Mary and Martha. In the 11th chapter of Luke, he's having another party, another dinner engagement at the home of a Pharisee. In the 14th chapter of Luke, this is what Linda read for us. He talks about the banquet. In the 15th chapter of Luke, he gives us the parable of the prodigal son. And what does he do when the prodigal son comes home? He kills the fatted calf. He brings in the band. There's music. There's dancing. There's joy. There's celebration. In the 16th chapter of Luke, he talks about the rich man who had banquets every day. And then there was poor old Lazarus, who was living off the crumbs from his table. But remember what happens? Lazarus dies. And suddenly Lazarus is at the banquet table. Lazarus has the banquets every day in heaven. And then the rich man dies, and he has no more banquets. And then in the 19th chapter of Luke, we have that wonderful story about Zacchaeus. Remember him? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And remember when Jesus called him down from that sycamore tree, and then he said, by the way, Zacchaeus, I'm on my way to your house. What's for dinner? And Zacchaeus had a party. You have it all throughout the Gospel of Luke. And the most significant meal that Jesus participated in, his final meal with the disciples, when he initiates for us the great meal of fellowship, the great meal of being a part of the kingdom of God, was at Passover. And then after his resurrection in Luke's gospel, the first time that he is recognized is not on that road with those guys, but when he got to their house, when he sat down at the table, when he broke the bread. And then the final appearance of Jesus in Luke's gospel, he's eating fish with the disciples. A French philosopher by the name of René Girard taught philosophy and anthropology at Stanford University. He was a brilliant man. He was a secular humanist. He had no religious orientation, didn't really believe in God. But there was one question that kept haunting him, and he wanted to get to the bottom of it. The question was, why in modern times do marginalized people have moral authority? Why in modern times do people stand up for the disenfranchised? Why do people become concerned about the hungry and the homeless? Why are people part of liberation movements, trying to help the weak and the vulnerable? Because in the ancient world, there was none of this. The ancient world only celebrated the strong, the powerful. It never reached out to the vulnerable and the weak. And this fascinated him, and he studied this, and then he made a powerful discovery. It all went back to one man who lived a simple life, Jesus of Nazareth. He traced this social phenomenon to the life of Jesus and discovered that Jesus had introduced a new plot to human history. And to the confusion and the dismay of many of his academic peers, he started to follow this Jesus. We live in a world that thinks the most important thing is what you stand for. Jesus said the most important thing is who we stand with. Are we standing with our children? Are we standing with the hungry? Are we standing with the poor? Are we standing with those on the outside? Jesus created a new ethic. And the way that he did this was by celebrating, by sitting down at the table, by having a meal with those that society did not approve of. He initiated a new social order. And when you think about it, there are so many social movements that have centered around the table. Remember the sit-in in Greensboro at the lunch counter? There are so many of us within the sound of my voice who are old enough to remember the signs that we used to find in restaurants. Remember what they said? We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Which basically in the South said, if you're black, don't come in here. Jesus said, we reserve the right to invite anyone to the table. We reserve the right to sit and to eat with all of God's children, saints and sinners. We reserve the right to sing and to dance and to celebrate with everyone. God is with us wherever we go. Let us sing, let us celebrate, let us rejoice as we gather around the table, as we welcome the stranger, and as we celebrate the presence of the living Christ.